Hello, Americans. Stand by for news.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment.
It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update
with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
Refreshing. Refreshing. It's time. It's the Monday edition. Monday editions, we celebrate Mondays around here. We're not in the doldrums just because it's Monday. Monday means the start of a new week, another week to rock. So thank you for joining us here at the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Do me a favor. Share the Daily Update with a like-minded classic rock fan that you know. Share it. Just send an email, a link, whatever. Say, this guy's annoying. Check it out. Whatever. But if you could share the Daily Update, that would be tremendously helpful. As always, you can email me. We're going to share a couple emails today. I got some good emails. One's a great one. One, they're taking me to task. But I like them all. I like all the emails. I'll take them all. So, you know, we made a big hoopla about Judas Priest on Friday. The new album. It's a great album, Invincible Shield. But, you know, lost in all that hoopla was another great album that came out just a week before on March 1st. Bruce Dickinson's The Mandrake Project was released. And I listened to that over the weekend. And let me tell you, it's a good album. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I like the new Priest a little better, but Bruce's album is really good. And here's the good news. It's become a global smash hit. It's had tremendous success. And I to be honest, it kind of came out without me even noticing. It didn't have as much hoopla as the Priest release did. But The Mandrake Project is number one in Germany and Sweden, number two in Finland and Switzerland, number three in the UK, number four in Brazil, number five in Belgium and Italy, number six in the Netherlands, and number 10 in France and Mexico. So good news for Bruce. And if you haven't checked it out yet, you got to listen to it. It's a great album. It's good. I was afraid. I'm a Maiden fan, right? And so I was hoping it would kind of sound like a Maiden album because I like the Maiden. And I thought maybe it would be like completely different. But you know what? If you're a Maiden fan, you'll love Mandrake Project. I mean, it's different. It's a little different. But it's not like a complete left turn from Maiden. So if you like the Maiden, you'll like Mandrake Project. And it's a good album, and it's doing really well. I'll be interested to see how the new Priest album comes or shows up on the charts this next coming week. I think we'll be pleasantly surprised. And that's what one of the emails has taken me to task about, my thoughts on the new Priest album. So just a teaser. You'll have to hang out till the end to hear that. A concert honoring the late Jimmy Buffett will take place in Los Angeles on April 11th. It will feature performances by the Eagles, John Bon Jovi, Sheryl Crow, Jackson Browne, and even Sir Paul McCartney. They're all going to turn out for this tribute to Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett is an interesting figure. I like Jimmy Buffett. For whatever reason, like the classic rock station here in my town, they play Margaritaville. I mean, he's a guy that gets lumped in with these classic rockers, even though he ain't classic rock. He's squarely a country artist in my mind. No, nothing wrong with that. But it's just interesting that he's kind of lumped in, kind of like Elton John. You know, if you really listen to Elton, and he's got a few rockers, not many. Billy Joel's kind of in the same, and I love all these guys, by the way. This is not a diss. It's just interesting how some artists have the classic rock cred, even though their music is not classic rock at all. It's just a fascinating thing. This Jimmy Buffett tribute is called Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett. And it's got all the artists that we mentioned, including a lot of country artists and other type of artists, Eric Church, Brandi Carlile, Jack Johnson, Pitbull, Jake Owen, Kenny Chesney. Kenny Chesney, that guy. Don't get me going on Kenny Chesney. Perhaps he's the Green Day of country music, right? Just luckiest guy in the world. I hope he enjoys it. I'm going to get in trouble now from the Kenny Chesney. I just don't get it. I don't get that guy. I don't get it. But a number of the artists on the bill have actually worked with Jimmy Buffett, including the Eagles and Paul McCartney. Buffett's band, his Coral Reefer Band, opened for the Eagles in 1975, which he said was very inspiring. He says, quote, "I was introduced to the band in the dressing room of the LA Coliseum. I don't remember how I got on the bill, but I was just excited to be there. It didn't matter that nobody had paid to see us or that they misspelled my name on the marquee." "I sat there with all the members of the Coral Reef Band in awe. And when it was over, we strolled back through the empty arena towards our dressing room. And I said, that is the kind of band we want to become." Those are the remarks he made as they were inducting the Eagles in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Paul McCartney actually was on Jimmy Buffett's final album. I love the title of his final album, Equal Strain on All Parts. And Paul McCartney said he had a most amazing lust for and a beautiful sense of humor. When we swapped tales about the past, his were so exotic and lush and involved sailing trips and surfing and so many exciting stories that it was hard for me to keep up with him. Right up to the last minute, his eyes still twinkled with a humor that said, I love this world and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. So many of us will miss Jimmy and his tremendous personality, his love for us all and for mankind as a whole. What a great tribute from Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's just a class act. He is. Now, this will be interesting. Sting of the Police, not the pro wrestler Sting. That's a different Sting. Sting of the Police has announced the Sting 3.0 tour, which will put him on the road in North America. And here's what's interesting. Touring as a three-piece. We've seen that before. But he's doing it not with, you know, Stewart and Andy. He's doing it as a three-piece with his longtime guitarist, Dominic Miller. By the way, great episode of Rick Beato, where he interviews, there's one where he interviews Dominic Miller and then one where he interviews both Sting and Dominic Miller, if I'm remembering right. Dominic Miller, super talented guy. And then drummer Chris Maus will be along too. So as a three-piece, that will be interesting. I wonder how much Police stuff they'll do with that lineup. Maybe a bunch, maybe not much at all. But tickets go on sale this Friday if you'd like to do that. Sting 3.0, they're doing lots of dates in the U.S. They're even opening for Billy Joel on a few dates. And then they'll be doing a European tour as well. Okay, so more Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, what we refer to as the steaming pile of poop news. And this is not new. This is comes from the No Duh file. Let's share it. Our friends at, which site is this? Which one was this? Ultimate. Okay. Our friends at Ultimate Classic Rock, they did the same thing about Sinead O'Connor, which was silly. But they posted in another article, the five reasons Foreigner should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, if you got to justify them being in it, you're already dead in the water, right? They've been eligible since 2003. They should have gone in then. And so, you know, 21 years too late. Looks like they're going to go in, which is great. If they don't go in, then, I mean, I don't know what else we could say to explain the stupidity that is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, other than Styx still isn't in, Kansas isn't in, Boston isn't in, REO Speedwagon isn't in, Grand Funk isn't in, Bad Company isn't. Okay, see what I've got to calm down. So yeah, you don't need to post an article, classic, whatever you're called, Ultimate Classic Rock. You don't have to post an article justifying why Foreigner should be in there. OK, Okay, I think anyone with half a brain knows they should have been in there 20 years ago. Calm down, Jeremy. Just calm down. Calm down. Bring it down. Let me sip from the cauldron. Cauldron? It's not a chalice. The chalice of the gas station soda pop. Let's go to the email. We got an email from one of our close family members, one of our supporters, which we really appreciate. This is from Marlon, who checks in often. Marlon's not on today, but Marlon, if you watch the recording, hello and thank you for your email. He says, Marlon, if you'll remember, his avatar is the cover of the Michael Schenker Group Assault Attack, my personal favorite Michael Schenker album. So I love that. He sends an email. Hey, Jeremy, you no doubt have Schenker's first few solo albums. And I do. I'm wondering if you will buy the new Is It Loud Enough box set coming out soon. I think it's from his 80 to 83 years, Marlon Hill. I think you're right. I think it includes the Michael Schenker Group, then the MSG album, then the Michael Schenker Group Assault Attack album, and then Built to Destroy, I think. And then there's some special things thrown in with that. I probably will buy it. I mean, to be honest, I knew it was coming out. I hadn't really thought. And guys, I'm going to admit, I'm a streamer. I mean, I stream, I own lots of LPs and vinyl, but I haven't bought a new vinyl album, I'm sad to say, in quite a while. But here, you know, here's the thing. Let's just talk about this for a minute. And Bruce, thank you for checking in. I haven't seen you check in. He said, this is the first time I've tuned in with it live in a while. Well, thank you for tuning in. And by the way, we publish this as a podcast version too. So like 30 minutes after this goes live, it's up as a podcast. Some people would rather listen in their car or whatever, so you can listen to it as the podcast. Either way, you're still helping us take over the world. However you do that, that's appreciated. Where was I going with this? You'll often see, in fact, over the weekend, as I was engaged in arguing and debating with people about the new Judas Priest album, again, that's foreshadowing to the next email that lambastes me. There's always this discussion about, oh, you got to go support the artists. You got to buy it on vinyl or buy it on CD. Otherwise you're not supporting the artist. So let's talk about that for a minute. If I buy the LP, yes, they get a much higher percentage of the profits when you buy physical media, right? CD, LP, no doubt about it. But that's all they get, right? If I go buy Invincible Shield on vinyl for $30 or however much vinyl costs now, they'll make a pretty significant, you know, they'll make a few bucks off of that. If I stream the whole album, they'll make a penny if that, you know, they don't make much at all, right? I get it. However, it would be, and I don't know the answer to this, but if I listen to it exclusively on streaming over the next 10 years, right? I wonder if they wind up making more money that way than if I buy it one time on vinyl. And then anytime I listen to it, I'm listening to the record. It's a one and done thing versus if I'm streaming Michael Schenker, when I'm in the car on a road trip, I have a Michael Schenker playlist, for instance. A Michael Schenker / UFO playlist is one of my favorite playlists. And I play it, you know, between here and wherever I'm going for hours over and over. And so I'm streaming these songs. So my point is, that, you know, you're still supporting the artist as if you stream them a bunch, right? They're still making money from you. Granted, not as much as that higher percentage they would get if I bought the media. But at some point there's a break even depending on how much you stream. I don't know what it is, right? But you are supporting an artist when you stream their music because they make money from it, right? The more you stream, the more they make. So I don't know. Just want to talk about that. Now, Bruce K, I support Billy Alexander by taking lessons and he gets 100%. That's a good point. Now there's the backstory. Bruce and I have talked about this. Billy Alexander is a guy, probably the premier Rush tribute band. Why not? Have you seen these guys? They have a female lead singer. They've had a few female lead singers. Musically, these guys are just phenomenal. Billy is the guitar player, and Bruce, our friend Bruce, chiming in, he takes lessons from Billy, which would be awesome because the guy's a phenomenal player, and you're right, you're supporting him 100%. So, hey, support these great artists, support great guitar players, however you do it, the important part is to support them. Yeah, I wholeheartedly support that, Bruce. Okay, now here's the email. Let me just tell you this. The subject line is, are you high? Okay, that's the subject line. So I know I'm in for it. Here's the email. This is from Justin. Justin emailed me at classicguitarrock@mail.com. You can do the same thing. Even these type of emails. And I'll read them. He says, are you high? Dude, did I hear you correctly when you said Invincible Shield is better than Defenders of the Faith? That's just crazy talk. Defenders is probably the Priest's best album. I was shocked. But he finishes it. He throws me a bone at the end. He says, but we can still be friends, I guess. LOL. That's from Justin Myers. Justin, thank you for the email. I won't take it back. I'm not going to take it back. I said, and I'll be honest, I mean, music is subjective, right? There's not a music factometer that we can put, but I have literally, and I'm going to, I'll admit, guys, I'm a fan of debate, okay? I'm a fan of the exchange of ideas, even differing opinions. And all weekend, I've been going head to head with fellow Judas Priest fans about the merit or demerit of the new Invincible Shield album. I'm a big fan. Okay. I think in one, you know, bloviating post I put up on Facebook, I listed in order all 19 Judas Priest albums. And yes, I did have Invisible Shield ahead of Defenders. I did. And I think on Friday, I even said that I think I like it better than Defenders. Justin posits that Defenders of the Faith is their best album. And that's, he's welcome to that opinion. That's all we got is opinions, guys. It's all we've got. And guess what? Here's the dirty little secret. Even the experts that you listen to, be it in music, sports, politics, the experts, all they have is their opinion. That's all it is, okay? It's all it is. It's all opinion. And I had Defenders, I think, at number 6 or 7. I can't remember. And I had Invincible Shield right before Defenders. So in front of Defenders, I had British Steel, Screaming for Vengeance, Hellbent for Leather. And here's a controversial one. Point of Entry. Point of Entry doesn't get much love. If you look any list, so Classic or Ultimate Classic Rock, for instance, had a list. They ranked Judas Priest albums, and they had Point of Entry like third from the bottom, which they're the ones smoking crack, right? Point of Entry is a phenomenal album. I would definitely put it way ahead of Defenders. Now I'm all fired up. But I do like the new album. I do like Invincible Shield that much. I ranked it ahead, I think just by one, of Defenders. Now, realistically, when the newness wears off and I go back to listening, you know, Judas Priest is in its normal rotation, that could change. I mean, I could, Defenders might bump up a little further, but I've said it before that to me, Defenders was the last really good Priest album until Invincible Shield, because I think that's a really good album. I have had people wanting to fight me in the parking lot all weekend because I ranked Painkiller like number 11 of the Priest. Sorry, Painkiller just ain't that good, guys. It ain't. Sorry. Now people will really want to fight me in the parking lot. So I think I had Defenders at 6 or 7. I had Painkiller down at like 11. I like Firepower better than Painkiller. You know, I just, it is what it is. But all we have is our opinions. Okay. The important thing in terms of Judas Priest is we're all Priest fans. These people I've been arguing with all weekend, we're all Priest fans. And it is funny. This is part of the fun of debate. And I'm the worst at this. You know, I'll spout it out like it's fact, as all good debaters do, right? But it's not fact. It's all subjective. It's all opinion. That's all we got. That's all any of us got. If you can express that opinion with confidence and with passion, more power to you. That's awesome. That's what makes it fun. And I love debating about music. So what I don't like is when it gets all mean-spirited. And I don't like that. It's all opinions, right? But that's why I appreciate Justin. You know, yeah, he thinks I'm high. He's shocked. He's stunned. But in the end, he says, but we can still be friends. And that's the key, right? It's all subjective. We want to focus on what keeps us together. Right? We don't want to fight about things that we love, especially if we're Priest fans, we're classic rock fans. Yeah, we can debate, we can argue, but let's keep it fun. That's what I'm talking about. Kumbaya. Nice. Okay, guys, thank you so much. Let's see. Bruce chimes in with one last thing here. He says, Rush sells beer and amplifiers for revenue. Yes, they do. And books. Yes, they surely do. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Shoot me an email, classicguitarrock@mail.com, and we'll do it all again tomorrow on the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.